Major American companies have rejected President Trump's plan to pull the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accord. Even carbon-emitting oil giants say that a warming planet has altered the global economy and that lessening the risk of that warming is good business. In southern Louisiana, erosion, sea level rise, and powerful storms threaten ports, pipelines, oil wells as that state's coastline is vanishing. In his series this week from Louisiana, Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd explains how industry is looking for solutions of its own.
The buzz of commerce is on full display at the southern tip of Louisiana, and Sarah Mack is trying to protect it.
So we're actually right across from Port Fourchon by Lafourche.
There's like big old ships in front of us.
Big old ships is kind of an understatement. These are massive ships that serve the oil and gas offshore industry.
Mack is a scientist and founder of the wetland restoration company Tierra Resources. She spends a lot of time plying this shallow marsh on her 24-foot boat. Mack drops anchor. We pull big rubber waders up to our hips and jump in. We're just a few hundred yards from the Gulf of Mexico.
Ooh, just sunk. Hold on.
This is actually really solid, good walking for wetlands.
I can tell.
The water is already comfortably warm. As the summer draws on, it will be the fuel for powerful hurricanes that could wipe out the nearby port, which services 90% of the Gulf's offshore oil industry. Mack is leading me toward the shore to show me something that could mitigate a disaster. It's an unassuming plant called the black mangrove, which is increasingly common here.
These mangroves are actually a tropical species, and because the climate is warming and we're not getting these hard freezes, these tropical plants are moving into the southern reaches of Louisiana.
By now, we're out of the water, trudging through a mangrove thicket that belongs to ConocoPhillips. The oil company owns 640,000 acres in southern Louisiana, making it the largest private wetland owner in the country.
This sounds like a muddy job you have.
You're covered in mud by the time it's all said and done.
Fleshy mangrove tubes stick up from the mud and trip us up. Mack and a scientist she works with named Robert Lane from Louisiana State University say those tubes are called pneumatophores.
They're the root system, but they're also what sticks up out of the water so that the plant can actually take oxygen.
All mangroves have some sort of pneumatophore.
That's what you want this. This is good. This is going to protect from storm surge.
Yeah. This will hold the wetlands together and not dissipate.
Since the 1930s, Louisiana has lost more than 1,900 square miles of land to erosion. That's the size of Delaware. Blame the oil companies for much of it. For decades, they've dug a system of canals through the fragile marsh to access their wells. Climate change and sea rise are compounding the problem. Mack says losing the land means losing a buffer from powerful storm surge.
What really happens with a surge is you get this big wall of water. With Hurricane Katrina, it was 28 feet. And then you also have the waves on top of the water. So it really can cause massive destruction to levee systems, like in Hurricane Katrina, massive flooding.
By some estimates, it'll take $90 billion in the next 50 years to restore the coast, and private industry will have to help. For the past several years, Sarah Mack and Robert Lane have tested a theory. What if you collect a bunch of mangrove seeds known as propagules and replant them across tens of thousands of acres?
In general, along the Louisiana coast, you see mangroves along the bayou edges, and that's because the propagules flow along with the water and they get stranded along the edges and they can't get further into the interior. And it's an interior marsh that we're trying to establish these mangroves in.
You want them to go deeper than just the
edges. Yeah, and so that's what the airplane can do.
The airplane? That sound is from a video taken last fall. Mack hired a crop duster to drop plane loads of mangrove seeds deep into a salt marsh where only fragile grasses had grown before. Several months later, Mack is reaching into the marsh with a ruler to show me how the seeds have come to life.
What are you looking at? You've got these little, oh my gosh, it's tiny.
Yeah, those are our growing mangrove seedlings from what we seeded just this past November.
It's buried in the grass here.
Yeah, but you can see I'm measuring this. This is 10 inches, and this has grown 10 inches since November.
This is a pretty big piece of land that we're standing on, but in the scheme of things, it's actually pretty small if you consider how widespread this problem is. So is it realistic to think that what you're doing here could be replicated on a scale that would be large enough to actually make a difference?
So that's what we're specifically working on now. Our goal is to seed 30,000 acres in the next 10 years because we know probably a quarter of that will be lost that we won't get to in time.
Is 30,000 acres even enough?
I mean, nothing's ever quite enough, but everything helps. Again, when our trade-off is open water, every bit helps.
And open water is a threat to companies like ConocoPhillips. The oil giant is Mac's main investor, and it's given her permission to plant seeds on its land. The company wouldn't tape an interview with me, but I did speak with another investor that's paid Tierra Resources more than $600,000 in recent years.
We are at the boundary between St. Bernard Parish and Plaquemines Parish in southeast Louisiana.
Okay.
Right on the banks of the Mississippi River. This area was 100% flooded after Katrina.
Rick Johnson is Director of Environmental Strategy and Policy for Entergy, an electric utility that serves several southern states. We're just outside of New Orleans, where he says part of its business was forced into bankruptcy 12 years ago after Hurricane Katrina.
Entergy years ago realized that climate change was a risk to not just our assets, but to also to the customers we serve, be they residential, commercial, industrial customers, to the regions where we operate. We recognized that sea level rise and coastal erosion were risks to those assets, not just our company assets, but communities and all of our customers.
When you're talking about a risk to your assets, mm-hmm. what do you mean specifically?
I mean specifically, as an example, during Hurricane Katrina, one of our power plants in the eastern part of New Orleans took on a very large storm surge that basically shut that plant down for months while it had to be restored.
And we're not that far away from there right
now.
That's
right. That's right.
Okay, so that's one. You have power plants mm-hmm. that when the storm surge comes in, that water wipes out a power plant.
Yeah.
You have transmission lines.
We have transmission lines, which during several storms over the last 15 years, we experienced major breaks in those transmission lines, cutting off part of our customer base from the power grid.
You were telling me that one of the assets that is important to you also is your customers. You need customers in order to be a profitable business. And you have firsthand experience with this, right? I mean, when Katrina came through, a lot of your customers left and your business suffered.
It did suffer.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What happened? People just moved away, didn't pay their bills, or what?
Well, people moved away, couldn't accept power, weren't paying their bills because they weren't, the meters weren't turning.
The company says that by 2030, environmental threats could cause $350 billion worth of damage to Gulf Coast infrastructure. But its investment in Tierra Resources and other restoration projects will not be enough to solve the problem. In fact, local parishes have sued big oil companies, demanding they pay more to restore the land they've had a role in degrading. Back on the bayou near Port Fouchon, Sarah Mack says it's an all-hands-on-deck kind of a problem.
The government is so slow, and this is a dire emergency.
Her boat is at the edge of the grassy marsh, where waves crash gently but ceaselessly against the shore.
And then if you look right here down to our right, you'll see how we have all these PVC poles are just sticking out in the water.
Yep.
So we marked the edge of this site. This was only a year ago.
Oh my gosh.
That we marked the edge of this site.
So we're talking about lost land. Those PVC pipes used to be at the edge of the land?
Yes.
So the one that we're closest to right now is at least 6 feet from land now. It's just sitting out there in the water by itself.
Yeah, so these are 1 year of erosion, and this is probably about a year and a half.
Sort of a microcosm of what's happening all through here.
Yeah, and this is a more protected site. This is not bad erosion.
At this point, the mangroves she's planted are just barely peeking above the grass, still far from the encroaching water. The question is, will they be strong enough to keep the land together as the waves close in? For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd.